The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
And of course, we also want to welcome at this time everyone who's watching or listening from other platforms, whether it be YouTube, whether it be Rumble, whether it be our podcast or whatnot. Today, I'm going to talk about, are we seeing a divine warning during Tesh Shavah? Are we seeing a divine warning during Tesh Shavah? And again, I just want to give you a real quick recap. Before I do that, if you're new to the broadcast on any of these platforms and you're able to comment under whatever platform you're watching or listening from, please let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. We always love to hear and get responses back from our listeners and our viewers as well. Tesh Shavah, let me give you a little bit of a recap on this. Tesh Shavah occurs every year on the Jewish calendar during the 40 days, beginning the first day of the sixth month of the Jewish calendar year and ending on the Day of Atonement. Again, this is in accordance to what I call God's calendar, not our calendar. As observant Gentiles, which again, if we are not born Jewish, we are Gentiles. We as Westerners, or if you go by Gregorian calendar, we don't observe this. But as believers, I believe we need to become aware of this. And because there is a great blessing in learning and understanding these feasts, these commemorations of these things, these memorials, the different things that is mentioned in both the Old and New Covenant. Because again, I've said this before in other previous broadcasts, that God moves and operates in seasons, cycles, and patterns. Let me say that again. God moves in seasons, cycles, and patterns. Many times you can always, you know, Jesus said, you'll not know the day nor the hour of his return, but we can know the seasons. He rebuked the religious leaders of his day, and he commended the sons of Issachar of his day, because there was a group of individuals that was discerning, that understood and discerned the times and seasons in which we were in. Now, how did they do this? They observed this through seasons, cycles, and patterns, dealing with celestial events, dealing with these 40-year cycles, these 7-year cycles, 3-year cycles. Again, those who have discernment, those who are led by the Spirit of God, have the Spirit of God, and know the Word of God will know what I'm talking about. So I want to go back to this. This is a 40-day period of Tesh Shavah. This year, it began on the 8th of August at sunset and will go all the way to the 16th of September. But from the 10th of September to the, or I'm sorry, from the, from the 6th of September to the 16th is a 10-day window, which is known as the 10 days of awe, A-W-E, the 10 days of awe. But I want to talk about, I don't want to focus so much on the 10 days of awe as I do this 40-day period. This 40-day period, again, can be a great blessing to us on a personal level as we press in and we pursue God and we intercede and we begin to bombard heaven with our prayers, our intercessions, our requests. The Bible says, let your requests be made known unto God. So this is a great blessing. But I'm going to show you today that in this 40-day period, God warns nations to turn. The word Tesh Shavah in Hebrew means to turn. It means to turn back to him. Let me say that again, to turn back to him. So having said that, I want to show you something extremely interesting. When you study history, you'll discover that it was during this 40 days of Tesh Shavah that Moses went up to Mount Sinai after the sinning of the golden calf And there Moses made atonement for the nation of Israel in a 40-day period where he was on Mount Zion at the top of Mount Zion, when he was on the top of this mountain, and he was making intercession for the children of Israel. And thus God gave him a new set of commandments and he comes down. It was also, you'll discover that it was, when you go to the book of Jonah, chapter 3, if you remember in the story of Jonah, God spoke to Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh because the Bible says it was a wicked city. It was full of abominations. And God was warning Nineveh to turn back to him from the king all the way down to the common people, that if the nation would turn from their wicked ways, then God would relent of the judgment he was about to bring, and it would bring a revival to Nineveh. Thus, God rose up the prophet Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh, but we know the story. Jonah revolted against God. He ran from God. He went in the opposite direction of God, and God rose up a great storm, rose up a great fish to swallow him. Jonah was tossed out of the boat into the sea, into the belly of this great fish. He actually died and went to the gates of hell, and he repented, and God caused this great fish to vomit him up to the shore of Nineveh, where he then went and he did according to what the word of the Lord said. And according to the Bible, listen to this. This is in Jonah chapter 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I will tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, and it was a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Now listen what he said. And then he cried out to the city. Here's what he said, according to your Bible. Yea, yet these 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, scholars believe that it was not a coincidence that Jonah gave a word of the Lord that after 40 days, Nineveh would be overthrown. So we have this 40-day window, and I agree with many of these scholars. I believe, based on historical research of this, this 40-day window was this 40 days of Teshuvah. It was in that same window. And we know that according to the Bible, the king heeded the word. He humbled himself in sackcloth and ashes, proclaimed a fast throughout the city of Nineveh. The people repented and God relented of the disaster that he was going to bring upon the city of Nineveh. We also see where Jesus went, was driven by the Holy Spirit, and he went into the wilderness and he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And he overcome this. The Bible says he was tempted in all points, but without sin. And he entered into Capernaum. He entered into Galilee. He entered into the cities after 40 days and 40 nights in the power of the Holy Spirit. Then consequently, we also see that the children of Israel, as a form of judgment against them, because they disobeyed the word of the Lord, because they complained and murmured against God, God allowed them to wander in the wilderness for, you guessed it, 40 years. And then we even see Pilate during the trial of Yeshua, during the trial of Jesus, when he was put on trial, Pilate took a basin of water, and in front of the people, he washed his hands of the blood of Christ. And the people cried out, may his blood be upon us and our children. And consequently, exactly 40 years later. That happened in 30 AD, 40 years later. The destruction of the temple took place, and it took place in 70 AD. So we see this number 40 that alludes to a season on the a season on God's calendar called Teshuvah. And it's a 40-day space to repent before we enter into the Day of Atonement. Okay, so can I say this to make this simple? The number 40 represents judgment. So now I'm gonna talk about today hurricane, the recent hurricane that just hit Louisiana, just hit Mississippi, and is still wreaking havoc. We're gonna talk about that, but I'm building this up to get to where we're gonna go. Let me give you some more historical insight into the time of Nineveh. An archaeological find of the cuneiform tablets was discovered in the 19th century describing events in Nineveh. In other words, there was a, listen to me real carefully, there was a series of events that took place before Jonah, or the prophet of that day, stood foot on the city of Nineveh's shore and preached, repent, lest judgment would come. I'm going to say that one more time, because for him who has ears to hear, let him hear what I'm saying today. According to an archaeological find in the 19th century, and I'm going to talk about what they discovered, there was a sequence of events that transpired before the prophet proclaimed the warning that 40 days and the city will be overthrown. So in other words, before Teshuvah came, or during Teshuvah, there was a series of events that happened or was happening before, come on, the major or final warning was given. According to these cuneiform tablets that was discovered in the 19th century, a major eclipse was mentioned in the tablets, known as the Burr-Sagali eclipse, which is also verified by NASA as occurring on June 15th, 763 BC. The path of totality, listen to this, was exactly over the city of Nineveh. Wow. And then it was also discovered, according to these tablets, there was two other major events that was transpiring at the same time. You ready for this? There was a plague taking place. A plague. And then there was civil war that was breaking out in the city of Nineveh. So let's recap this. There was a sign in the sun called a major solar eclipse that was visible over the city of Nineveh during a plague that was taking place. Hello. And in the midst of civil war breaking out in the city. And then we have Jonah stepping up. So you got to catch this, guys. It's not like Jonah just showed up and said, repent or judgment's coming. God allowed supernatural and cataclysmic events to shake the city of Nineveh, so that when he sent the prophet to warn them, they would already be sensitive because of what's going on. Now, in case you need more clarification on this, right now in America, I'm not talking about Europe. I'm not talking about the Middle East, although there's things going on all around us. But let's just home in on America first, because, again, I've not been called over there. I've been called here in America. This is where my voice is. God's raised me up here to be a voice to America. I'm an American. This is where God chose for me to be born. Okay? So here in America, we've had major solar eclipses that have taken place over the last 7 years that has been major, that was a once in a lifetime. We're in the middle of a plague. Call it what you want, but we're in the middle of a plague that's been going on for 2 years now. And we're on the brink. Many say that we're on the brink of a moral, social, civil meltdown that you can see happening all around us. And we just keep getting rocked with disaster after disaster. Now we're stuck in the middle of a disaster in the Middle East called Afghanistan. We've already lost 13 U.S. soldiers. Who knows what's going to transpire from that? We're not even to the anniversary of 9/11 yet on September 11th, and they're already warning that there's going to be more attacks coming. So you got that going on. You've got these earthquakes, fires, historical fires breaking out in California in the West, historical flooding, historical droughts, historical food shortages. Hello, are you listening to me? And then as we're taping this, we've already seen and everybody is aware of what's going on in Louisiana. Hurricane Ida has come through with her wrath, came on shore on Sunday morning as a Category 4, catastrophic wind speeds, striking Louisiana nearly 16 years to the anniversary of Katrina. As a result of this, the entire city of New Orleans has been left in the dark after a catastrophic transmission damage. And according to one report, I'm going to just pull this up here. You got to see this slide for you guys who are watching this visual. These are actual headlines that we pulled from media outlets. We reported this on our main website. Look at this headline on the bottom, and then I'll give you the one on the top here. All of New Orleans without power after Hurricane Ida leaves catastrophic transmission damage. According to the one report, New Orleans may actually be without power and air conditioning for more than 3 weeks. Some sources said it could be months. Then, and this comes according to Yahoo News, almost 750,000 homes and businesses, and this has probably changed from the time I pulled this article out, without power across Louisiana as of 7:26 p.m. on Sunday. The blackouts were concentrated in the southeastern tip of the state, including New Orleans, and where Ida made its U.S. landfall. Storm surge and strong winds from Hurricane Ida, listen to this, stopped the flow of the Mississippi River near New Orleans on Sunday and actually caused it to go into reverse, something that one U.S., according to the U.S. Geological Survey or the USGS, they said this is extremely uncommon. Now, I didn't say that. The USGS said that. Extremely uncommon. Now, I know a little bit of history, and I can tell you the last time the Mississippi River, the last time a disaster caused the Mississippi to run backwards was the 1811-1812 series of earthquakes that rocked the New Madrid fault line and was so catastrophic that it rang bells like 3 to 4 states north. It caused geysers to open up. It caused lakes to form. this thing was catastrophic. And they said if earthquakes, the magnitude of 1811 and 1812 was to strike the New Madrid today, then it would be even more horrific. But don't miss the point. Those series of earthquakes was so powerful that it actually caused the Mississippi to run backwards. Now, why I got this up here, I want to show you, look at this timeline. I pulled this up. I did some research on this morning. And let's just go over the last five major hurricanes. The last five major hurricanes. Here you go on your screen. You've got Hurricane Katrina, of course, 16 years ago, struck on, look at these timelines, August 23rd to August 31st, 2005. Then you had Hurricane Gustav, August 25th to the September 5th, and that was in 2008. And by the way, these were record-breaking hurricanes. Hurricane Isaac, August 21st to the 3rd of September of 2012. Hurricane Harvey, August of the 17th to the September 3rd of 2017. And of course, today, as of on the 29th, Hurricane Ida made landfall and is still ongoing. Now, in case you missed it, this time frame, August 23rd, August 25th, August 21st, August 17th, August 29th, and look at the end times here, August 31st, September 5th, September 3rd, September 3rd. This is in the middle of Test Cheval. These major hurricanes are in the middle, are happening in the middle of Test Cheval every one of these years. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about we are seeing things happen that, again, I stress to you, for all those that are watching, all those that are listening, they say this is common, this is normal, it's hurricane season, it happens every year. Guys, listen to me. When weathermen, experts, USGS, seismologists, climatologists, and the list goes on of all these experts, when they begin to say things like unprecedented, historical, once in a lifetime, uncommon, unseen, unheard of, that brings it to a whole other level. Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, and there shall be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and on the earth, perplexity, with the waves and the seas roaring, and men's hearts fell in them for fear of the expectation of the things which are coming upon the earth. This is the exact scripture I thought of when I saw the footage on the Weather Channel and on AccuWeather.com and all these other clips that they showed. And they showed these this catastrophic winds whistling through, blowing through, and ripping off roofs of houses and this and that. I thought of that, the waves, and you could see the waves crashing and the seas roaring. You could hear the roar. Guys, listen to me. We are in a season of repentance, the season of turning. So here's what we're going to do today. We're going to, real quick, we're going to pray for our nation. We're going to pray for those that are in the impact zones. And then I want you to stick around and we're going to give you some ministry announcements, because there's a transition even in our ministry that you need to know about, and we need to discuss to you. But right now, I want you to come into agreement with me. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for our nation. We're going to pray that our nation as a whole would repent. And it's going to start with us. If my people that are called by my name, everyone that bears the name of Christ, you have a covenant with God, you're serving God, you're born again, that you are the people that he's talking about in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves in prayer and turn from their sins and wicked ways, then shall I hear from heaven, and then shall I heal their land. So it's got to start with us. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come into agreement with every believer that's watching, every believer that's listening today, by whatever means, whatever platform they may be watching or listening from today. Lord, we come into agreement. We repent, Lord, as a nation. We repent as a church. Lord, first of all, we repent as a church for being, for permissing and allowing things to go on in the church that you have called an abomination, that you have called wicked. Lord, you said in the book of 2 Corinthians, you commanded your people to come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. But Lord, we've embraced the unclean today. We've conformed to the unclean today. We've conformed to the world when you told us to be not conformed to this world. Lord, we talk and we act, or we talk and we look the part, but our, you said in the New Testament, they profess to be godly, but their actions are abominable. And Lord, we repent as a church, Lord, for where we have failed you as a church. We repent, Lord, if we have blood on our hands, for the sins that we have permitted and we have made permissible from the pulpit to the congregation. Lord, if we have anybody's, if we have a brother or sister's blood on our hands through our words and our actions and our lifestyles, Lord, we ask that you would cleanse us and forgive us of all unrighteousness today. Lord, we repent and we turn back to our first love and our first works today. And Lord, we, God, we know according to your word that, Father, that the nation who fears you, it will go well with them. But Lord, you said the nation, any nation that turns from the true and living God and turns to false idols made of wood and without hands, that has eyes that can't see and ears that cannot hear, and that has a mouth that cannot speak. Lord, you detest idolatry. Now, Lord, here in America, for the most part, I'd say 97% of people are not forming an idol with wood or with rocks and speaking to an idol, but we have made other things idols. We've made entertainment idols. We've made preachers idols. We've made money idols. We've made this, and we've made anything that we put on the throne above you, we have made it an idol. And we repent today, and we ask that that idol would fall today and that you be lifted up. Because you said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So we repent today. Now, Father, we shift gears and we begin to, as a church today, we begin to repent for this nation. We repent for what this nation has done that has been detestable in your sight. Lord, we repent for the shedding of innocent blood that our nation has been guilty of. We repent for the abominations that we have put the stamp of approval on and permitted, Lord, all the way from the White House to the church house. Lord, we repent for violence and prejudicism and hatred. We repent for theft and idolatry and adultery, God. We repent for fornication and sexual immorality, God, and all these things that are wicked, Lord God, and that are perverse, God. And you said those things that are done in the dark, Lord, cannot even be spoken of in the light because they're so shameful. But God, we repent as a nation. We stand in the gap today as Moses, Lord, he stood in the gap for the Israelites that committed idolatry by forming the golden calf, and it aroused your anger. Moses stood in the gap and he made up the heads and he repented on the behalf of the children of Israel. Lord, we stand in the gap and we repent for the people of America today that, Lord, have turned their back on you. They have kicked you out of school. They have kicked you out of the Supreme Court. They've kicked you out of the government. They've kicked you out of the White House. They've kicked you out of our own houses, Lord, even in our own communities. We have tossed you out of every facet of our lives. And you said in the book of Proverbs that when a disaster is formed against us, because we have turned against you, and if we cry out to you without turning back to you, you said you will turn your ear from us. because we have detested you and we have not relinquished and repented of the things in which opened the door for it to begin with. Lord, just like the people of Nineveh, Lord, they saw the signs in the sun, moon, and stars. They saw the pestilences and the plagues. They saw the wars breaking out. The sword was going among them in their land. And Lord, and when the prophet showed up, they didn't reject the prophet, but they responded to the prophet through repentance. And when they did so, Lord, you brung a reprieve. You relented and you brought revival to Nineveh. God, we believe it today in Jesus' name. Lord, if you were willing to do it for the cities of the plains for 10 righteous, Lord, I thank you today that you can do it for our city that we represent today and that you represent today that's watching and listening today. And it's in Jesus' name today we pray, amen and amen. Guys, listen to me. Stick around for just a second. I want to give you some information. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Don't forget to share this broadcast. Don't forget to share this on whatever platform you're on. Tag people, share it, share the link, whatever the case may be. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org. EndTimeHeadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. That's where you're going to find us. Listen, download the app today. It's free on Apple. It's free on Google. Get it off your Play Store, whichever device you have. Get it into your hands. Our app, if you guys have the app already, and if you don't have the app, this app is going through a transition right now. We're adding more and more features to this. It's right now, it's in the works. Listen, we're going to add the right now, when you go under the watch section, it's linked to our YouTube account, all the videos there. But we are transitioning from YouTube to Rumble. Now, does that mean we're coming off of YouTube? No, we're going to stay on YouTube as long as they allow us to be on there. But there is going to be certain messages that we will not put on YouTube because they get censored, they get shadow banned, and they get removed and they get taken down. So that's why we're going to connect our Rumble account to the watch section so that you can watch every message and not just some messages, okay? So let me clarify that again. We are not completely abandoning YouTube. We're going to stay on. As I said it like this the other day, we can see the ship sinking, so we're preparing life jackets now. We're not going to wait until, you know, if you've ever seen the movie Titanic, the ship hit the iceberg and it was already half sunk. And then they started dispersing life jackets when it was too late. We're not going to do that. We already see the iceberg in front of us. We already see that this thing's going to sink for the big tech giants and these platforms for ministries like this to be on them. It's going to sink. It's coming to that. So we're throwing out the life jackets now by giving you alternatives to keep up with this and follow us. Okay. Now the podcast where it says, listen, is not going to change. That's going to stay the same. Now for you guys on Facebook, we have a Telegram account open. And we're going to also link that to the app. I like it. It's straight to the point. You can comment. You can interact with people. You see every headline, not just what they let you see. There's no algorithm, none of that stuff. If you subscribe, you hit push notifications, you get all of them, all of the headlines and all of the messages we put on there. So this is like this is a double security blanket. So you get the app, you push yes to notifications. And then once you get the app, you're going to see these things that are built into the interface. You're going to see Telegram and other places you can follow us that are not big tech giants, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and all that. Again, we're going to stay on there as long as we can, but we're not going to rely on them anymore. Okay. And then listen to this. We're building a forum section to our app. What's that mean? So you'll be able to go on the app and there'll be a forum there. And when you go into you sign into the forum and you can start discussions. You can start your own discussion panel or you can join other discussions. So there's can be all kinds of topics that you like. You for all you people that like to debate the rapture, whether it's no rapture, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, you can have fun. You can go and you can just iron sharpens iron, and you can do that right there, and you'll be able to do that on the app. You can discuss all whatever, and obviously there's going to be moderation. We're not going to just let anything go on, but within reason, you're going to be able to. Why are we doing this? We're building community. We're building a platform where you can interact, because we understand that there's a lot of things that Facebook and all these other platforms have that we don't right now. So we're trying to make this the best for you. And listen, here's the cool part. It doesn't cost you anything. It's free. All we ask you to do is, if you enjoy this ministry, you enjoy what it has to offer, the encouragement, the edification, the equipping, the information. If you enjoy all this stuff, what we ask you to do is pray about becoming a monthly partner and a monthly supporter of our ministry. And you can do that two different ways. Right there on your screen, as you see, you can give through the app right there by hitting the donate button, or you can go to the main website and give, and there's going to be places all over there you can give electronically, or you can go and give by check or money order. And you can do that by making it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So again, as always, guys, we appreciate you taking the day or this time to come on here and listen to this message. Again, if you're watching by YouTube, don't forget to hit the bell, hit the subscribe button to be notified. If you're watching by Rumble, please share this. Invite people to our new Rumble page. If you're listening to this by podcast, share the podcast, watch my Facebook Live, tag people, let people know what's going on, and share this information with them. So guys, we're going to sign off for today. We love you guys. We'll be back on here tomorrow, Lord willing, and we'll either have another prophetic viewpoint like this, or we will have an encouraging, equipping message for you guys tomorrow as well. So until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you in Jesus' name. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.